Welcome to Sharp Tongue Podcast. This is Jessie May, your girl of the hour. There are children crying in the background, dogs barking. And on this week's episode, we ask the question, can dementia and Alzheimer's be funny? With my friend, comedian, extraordinaire, Chris McClure.
Not true.
I wrote down some notes.
Yep. You have a perfect bun on top of your head.
I've perfected the bun.
It looks like a hair shit.
It does. It looks like a poop emoji.
Right? Wow. Without a mirror, you did that.
Yeah, I did. I wrapped it around. I put two eyes in it as well.
You just...
And you know,
that's the hair clip. That would be a great hair clip for your shit emoji hair. You just feel
funny.
It with your hands. You hold it with both hands like a woman with a basket on her head. And then you just know when it's right. You're like, this is right.
Do you think my dad's gonna have Alzheimer's?
Now, here we go. This isn't a podcast. This is like medical advice. Like, McClure, listen.
This is
your parents have yard sailed. Can I get a little free advice here?
Yard sailed.
Yeah.
It's like how to make dementia and Alzheimer's funny.
Oh, well,
that's our goal.
It's gonna happen here.
You have to make it funny.
Yeah, yeah. That's.
Did I just scratch your wall?
It's impossible. 900 coats of paint on these walls.
What stage is your mom?
She is in the final stage of Alzheimer's and dementia.
How many stages are four in Alzheimer's, right?
Well,
I'm going to be Googling. I'm going to be fact checking.
Yeah,
you tell me.
Yeah, you should fact check it because
we don't want to misinform people.
There was the early onset stage where she was having a hard time with her vocabulary, and that started in about 2010.
Now, here's a question for you. Early on, when stuff started happening, did you question it? Or now, in retrospect, you sort of were like, oh, I should have recognized those signs.
Well, I mean, we were suspect because, you know, she worked really, really hard. Like, she was she never stopped. I was a commercial fisherman, and there are people, like, there's only one other person I've ever known in my life that works harder than my mom. And it was like a guy on a dock that I knew.
What did she do?
She was a interior decorator, interior designer. And she sold flooring and
so artistic and like mathematical.
Super, well, I wouldn't say mathematical, but like she was just an incredible designer. No, but and that's actually funny enough how we found out. She was she had incredible taste. She was a great decorator. When my parents split, she started selling vacuum cleaners in front of the, it was called Price Club, which is like Costco.
What?
And then the dude that our family bought carpeting from was going in to get something. And he's like, hey, didn't I just sell you like wall-to-wall carpeting in your beautiful house like a year ago? And my mom's like, yeah, you know, I'm divorced now and I needed a job. And my husband, you know, my dad split and left us broke. So
fun.
So yeah, no, great.
Enter comedy.
So, yeah, 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 for sure. For sure. Well, he's dead now.
Oh, okay. Good. No, just kidding. Yeah. Jesus. Guys, it's going to get a lot darker.
Yeah, it's going to it's
you better buckle in. We should have warned people.
Bad to worse.
Should have buckled in.
But yeah, so this guy was like, he liked my mom. Everybody did. So he goes, well, you want to learn how to sell carpeting? I could use a salesperson a few days a week at my carpet store. My mom was like, I will do anything.
How hard is it to sell carpeting?
Oh, well, you know.
You want soft floor? Yeah, here's some.
Well, there's like a gazillion. You ever walked into a carpet store?
No, I've never been in. I don't think I ever will.
No. I've seen your house.
every time you come over.
You're on hands and knees with nature's miracle. Going, all right, where'd you pee? They peed here. I know they peed. They probably shit over here. It's all stain. That carpeting, by the way, forget your deposit. That shit looks like a it looks like a Holstein cow. It's just blotches of
it looks like Ray Liotta's face.
Oh, God.
My car, I'm always.
I've considered pissing on your floor to make it smell better in your house.
Shut up. You know what I mean? You know what? My house does not smell.
No, it smells like nature's miracle.
It does. Well, only when you come over. For some reason, my animals like to pee when you're around. I don't know what it is.
They're excited.
But every time you've come over, my nose has literally been in my carpet sniffing for piss stains.
Yeah, it's.
Because it's always when I leave and come back with Bunny or Chaplin, they like to mark. The hell, like,
so when you have one of them out, the others just take
well
turns.
Like if I'm gone with Bunny or Chaplin like on the road or something and I come back, it's like they need to
light up the fucking floors.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Just re-piss. And then I go over and like drop a couple, you know, droplets, let them know I'm the alpha.
Yeah, you don't even have to pee. You just sit there drinking just a tall glass of water, waiting, staring at, never breaking eye contact, just looking at them. Yeah, I pay this rent, motherfuckers.
So your mom got into industrial...
Yeah. She ran a jackhammer for years.
Interior design. From a carpet shop?
Yeah, from a carpet shop. So she learned how to measure. She learned all the different types of carpet.
That's what I mean about mathematical. Like, I don't mean that she's like a mathematical genius, but the thing...
By your standards, yeah. She's incredible at math.
Listen, I'm terrible. I'm looking at the guitars on your wall right now, and I'm like, one, two,
yeah, I know. I've seen you count them three times. Boy, he's got like 900 guitars up there.
There's I suck at math. But, I mean, you have to have some sort of, like, spatial awareness when you're an interior designer.
And she also, just incredibly creative. She could walk into any space and go, no, the floors should be this type, and your walls could do this, and if you open up that wall, this could be that. And
so she saw potential in things.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's...
Did she see potential in you? Probably not. Nonstop. That pit stain. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, it was hot.
It's like an oil slick under your armpit.
You're going to talk about perspiration over there? You're going to talk about perspiration?
I smell like, I imagine what Charlize Theron characters smell like in Monster all the time. Just
I've seen your forehead so shiny.
I'm Sicilian. Respect
the
grease.
Is that what it is? Are they that shiny?
Yeah. They're that shiny.
Have you been? Is that a real thing? Sicilians are fucking, is it shiny or swarthy?
Swarly? What am I? A pirate?
Yeah, just like that kind of.
It's oil.
It's like you're up to something, sweat. Yeah, it's like, what did you just steal? Nothing.
You look like you're being interrogated with a sweat under your armpits right now. I'm sorry, you have a velvet custom Neil Diamond frame. Oh,
so we're
going to
jump around a little bit on
this. Guys, this podcast is about how we have Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah. Shit, our parents are fine. Our parents are fine.
We're the fucked up ones.
What are they doing in the garage? Just let them be. Lock the fence.
Put the cars in the driveway so they don't wander out to the street.
Yeah.
Okay, let's focus. Your mom's interior design. Mm-hmm. When did you first notice something was amok?
She ran a, we moved, we were living in Santa Barbara. She worked her ass off. She built this business up. She built her own business. And she was killing it for a while, but it was like she never stopped working. And she had a bookkeeper for her company. And in 2010, I think. I was managing a band and I was with them over in London, and I turned on my phone and I got a phone call from a family friend of ours who was like, hey, where's your mom going? I'm at her shop right now and everything's in moving boxes. Like, where's she moving to? And I had no idea that she was moving or shutting her store down. So I called her and she just broke down in tears and she was like, oh, honey, my bookkeeper moved away and I didn't hire anybody else and I got too far behind on my books and my taxes and my accounts receivables, and I lost the store. I have to shut the store down. I can't pay my rent, and I don't know what's going on. I'm just completely overwhelmed. And we thought she was having like a nervous sort of breakdown was just exhausted. But we were also noticing, like, when she'd come down both my brother and I live in LA. When she'd come down, She grew up in Culver City. She grew up around here, and she's been coming down here forever. And she'd be like, hey, let's meet at that. Let's go to that coffee place on that main... What's that main street by your brother? Like, Ventura? Yeah, you know that. But let's go to that... What's the coffee place? The green coffee place. I'm like, fucking Starbucks? Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I'm having a hard time with my words. Yeah, Starbucks. And so my brother and I were, like, suspicious. And we were also, like, going over her business and like shutting things down and closing out accounts, and we were like, she might have had a stroke,
because strokes can
can trigger dementia.
They can trigger dementia
for sure. And so we got her signed up with health insurance immediately.
Last thing you want to do is have a pre-existing condition and go into health insurance.
And so
America.
So we got her signed up for some health insurance, and then like a couple months later, we went in and started doing some memory tests and evaluations with psychiatrists.
So you guys kind of figured out, but here's a question. I Googled, there's 7 stages.
Mm-hmm.
Stage 7 is the final stage of Alzheimer's disease. It says disease is terminal illness, and in stage 7, they're nearing death, which is so fucking, it's almost like a
This is going to be a funny podcast.
I mean, it's. I was saying this before. Like, when real shit happens, don't you just go, fuck it? Let's just keep it real. Like, it can be funny in the moments where it needs to be funny, but it's like, ever since I did the past couple episodes where I've been talking about my dad and just explaining what's going on, people are like, me too, me too. It's like hashtag me too, but no one's getting fingered. You know what I mean? They're just getting fingered emotionally.
Yeah. But, oh, it's fisted. Yeah, it's not, I wish it
and
was
then not
fingered.
Remembering.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. Why can't I sleep on my back anymore? Why won't my asshole close? Oh, that's right.
Harvey should have sexually assaulted people with dementia if he were smart. Then they wouldn't remember the assault, and he'd be totally fine by now.
You know, there's a bit in there for sure. For sure, Jess. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up, right? This is what separates, you know, the goods from the greats.
But do you know if you can skip to a stage? Like, sometimes it creeps up on you. Sometimes you don't know early on.
So we went, we pulled her license fast, her driver's license, because we went in, within a few months, we were at Kaiser, who were great. And we went in and saw that, like, they did this memory test, and I took her to it. It was fucking devastating watching her.
Oh, I can't imagine.
You know, they'd say three or four words, and then they'd say, and they'd have her repeat them back, and then they'd say those three or four words, and they'd add a couple more words and have them repeat them back. And, like, she couldn't do any of it. She had a really hard time. And then she was getting frustrated and scared, you know? And then it's that adjustment period that you're going through right now.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
What you're in right now is the worst part.
It's like, it's up and down. It's like, oh, great day, a fucking horrible day.
Yeah, you're in a washer machine.
Okay, you're literally like,
yeah.
You can't settle into anything.
That's right. And this is, you know, my mom was, you know, she raised me. And she's an incredible human. And classy, and
she seems very warm just from that video you posted, so, like, so, like, filled with love.
Absolutely the greatest human.
Yeah.
And everyone in her life would say that.
Yeah.
Right? She was great to everyone.
Yeah.
Watching it, because it's so undignified.
Yeah.
And you're so helpless.
Brutal. Yeah.
You're so helpless to watch somebody that you feel that strongly about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love my dad.
Yeah.
But, you know,
he's dead
and he died the day before I did the first podcast.
I know
him. Yeah,
which is in the summer.
Yeah,
it feels like a lifetime has passed between now and
Jesus.
Then
Jesus. But,
and like,
and
you
that's
know,
been hard.
That episode we did, had I just come back from driving cross country, I think I just come back from my driving cross country, my dad started to decline right before we did that episode.
Yeah.
So your dad passed, and then you're dealing with your mom. You had just cleaned out your dad's house.
And we didn't think that my dad was, we thought we were like in the seventh inning with him.
Yeah.
You know, he hadn't been taking care of himself. He left when I was 12 and then came back when I was 22.
Guys, this is a funny podcast,
it's
by
so
the
terrible.
Way. We just want to reiterate, this is in the comedy section. If you go to iTunes, Google, go ahead, just take a moment. Google Sharp Tongue Podcast. Got it in there? Okay. And it's a comedy podcast. Just want to say that.
You know, we all kind of forgave him. We felt sorry for him. You know, he's just a broken dude.
Yeah.
He was just a pussy. That's it. He was just a pussy. And, you know, he skipped a few hugs.
My pussy's not broken, FYI.
I know. What, yours?
Yeah.
We got to come up with a better word for somebody that's not tough.
I know. Because it's just, pussies are so tough.
Man.
Like, what about a worm dick?
A worm dick?
Flaccid dick.
Just a soft dick.
Soft dick.
He's a limp dick.
He's a limp dick.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's a limp dick. That's a really good, yeah.
Limp dicks are very vulnerable.
And I don't want anyone to see this thing.
It looks like a dead baby bird.
Oh, God.
They look like a possum.
If I'm lucky, it looks like that. Sometimes it looks like a
baby opossum.
Jesus. It looks like a fucking doorbell.
Looks like a gerbil, your new gerbil pet. Brand new gerbil.
There are sometimes
pre-hair.
Where I'll get out of the ocean after surfing and I'll be so cold that my dick will be white. It's unbelievable. Like, I'm a white dude, but it's white.
Gandalf
like,
dick.
The head of my dick literally looks like it was hit by lightning.
You know what's so weird? My dad's dick is white. And I thought I'd die without knowing that information. You know, my dad's dick. Literally, I can tell you. If
wow,
I put
he's got an albino?
Yeah, and he's got like gray pubes. If I put
oh, Jesus.
A little pointy
he does look
hat,
like
it would look like Gandalf.
Oh my God.
You shall not pass.
You gotta get him a cane. You gotta get
a little
staff.
Little yeah. Dick staff?
Yeah. Dick staff.
It literally
Dick
I
staff
love
productions.
Dick staff.
There you go, Jess. You got it.
That's funny. My dad's, I have all, it's just burned in my brain. I really thought I'd get through. None of my sisters have seen it.
Are you kidding me?
I think maybe one did.
None of them have gone in for it?
I put gloves on and put my hand right in his ass. I told you that, didn't
I? That's bold. I didn't do that with my mom, thank God. I did help her in the shower here one time.
It's an interesting thing.
Well, they're just so... at a certain point, they just get so childlike.
They become worst, children.
You know, backing up to where you're at the worst part because you're clinging to normalcy.
Ugh.
And there are these little islands of moments with your dad, I'm sure, to where he's lucid. And it's like, oh, all right, no, he could be fine. We just need a little more of this. Whatever's happening right now, we just need more of this. But it doesn't stay that way. We're all declining. You know, just
guys,
some faster than others.
This is a comedy. It's a comedy podcast.
Jessie Mae, world famous stand up comedian. All right,
and I hung out with Andrew Dice Clay last night, yeah, guys. That's comedy,
amazing. She comedy can't stop scratching all over her body. By the way,
hickory dickory dock. You got some disease from my cock.
Uh oh. Yeah. So it's right now is the worst because it's.
It's not consistent.
And you're not used to it. You're not...
It's my biggest nightmare.
Of course.
It's my biggest nightmare.
But it also, you know, it was... The first few years were tough, heartbreaking. My mom was also dating an old family friend of ours during this time. And he was like, I'm going to marry her. And she doesn't need to drive anymore because I live on a golf course in Vegas. And this guy... bought us some serious time and was such a gift, is such a gift.
Companionship is huge.
Yeah, and so she moved into his place on the golf course in Vegas, and that lasted a few years.
That's nice that she got that.
3 years ago. Oh, she got her last couple years of her life.
That's amazing.
Of her memories.
Yeah.
Were fucking great. We got Christmas trees. We she got to decorate a house. She got to cook.
The guy was good to her.
He's great to her. He still calls her.
Oh, it's the fucking
notebook.
And they
just put the phone up. Yeah, they put the phone up to her ear.
Oh, my God. It's so goddamn heartbreaking.
It's just absolutely, it's destroying.
And you battle, you go back and forth between accepting the reality.
And then wondering what you can do. Yeah, so the answer is.
By the way, guys, Chris McClure and I are both going back and forth. Holding back tears, I can see you.
What are you doing? I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop it right now.
This is the third podcast in a row I've cried. It's fine. I'm coming to terms with just feeling my emotions.
Well, that's the gift.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Well, here's the fucked up part, right? That as creative people and you know, comics and listen to you, you're already laughing. We're not stopping. I'm going to stop. I thought about it because it's when I thought I was going to cry.
Oh.
And then I saw you cry. And I'm like, I don't want to look like that.
Oh, you stop it.
Yeah.
When you cry, goddamn you fucking
right.
Whore.
Oh, I'm going to edit the fuck out of this thing. God, he's so strong. He is so strong. Oh, you know. God, look at him. He's like Zeus up there.
Up there. I can't even
Jesus,
see you.
Right. Oh,
what okay, strength. Continue your sentimental thing. You were saying something
sentimental
nice.
Thing is that we have had our repartee our whole lives to where we've been able to dance around our feelings and get to them later.
Yeah.
Or let people in to a certain extent.
Not
we
all the way.
Let people have as much as we are comfortable with them having. And a lot of times, you know, we think that like, oh yeah, so-and-so, yeah, we click. But we can really hold a lot of our lives at bay.
Oh, yeah.
Because of our banter. And we're so, fast.
And also, we're thick skinned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got this horrible card in the mail from this woman that had dead crickets in it. And I think she meant that was my audience or those were my fans because she referenced my comedy career in it. And I thought it was a Christmas card. And it was like, hey, your comedy's okay. You're a good enough guy. This is a goddamn nightmare. I'm paraphrasing, but
we have to read the card.
The card.
I sent you a card.
Yeah.
And for real, I put dead crickets in
it. You put dead crickets in. Chris.
I put a box of dead crickets.
You put a box of dead crickets
did
in.
Did you not? I thought you of all people would laugh so hard.
I did. I did. I'm like, well, these are clearly, these are my fans. I know, I've heard them at my shows.
I also put something else in there.
$5 Canadian dollar bill. And a picture of you from your fucking podcast. Like, you promoted your podcast to me. Like, what? What? What did you do?
Oh my God,
did you just close your eyes and grab grab the top of your dresser with your right hand? And you're like, these things. These things here. And where do you even get $5 Canadian?
It smelled like maple syrup. Did you smell it?
I didn't. No. Why would I do that?
Oh, you should change it. Change it and you get $3.25 back.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh my God, I'm crying. Oh God.
Anyway, my point is, our lives, we're able to keep our lives and people and our feelings at bay through our repartee,
yeah,
and through the stories that we create. And when something like this happens, you're so heartbroken and leveled that it forces you to stop.
It does. This is bullshit.
There's no outrunning it. Right.
There's no outrunning this bullshit.
So, you know, for the last few years, you know, thank God I have the people in my life that I have, because there have been times to where I'm on my way to my production company on the other side of town and I'll make it two traffic lights and I'll just start sobbing. And I'm like, I can't today. You know, I can't. I'm going home and I'm not going to wear pants and I'm going to sit in my feelings and I'm going to write or I'm going to go work out or I'm going to go, you know, surfing or I'm going to go call my best friend from Ohio. I'm going to go see my brother or I'm going to go see my mom, but I'm going to sit. There's no getting ahead of this feeling.
Yeah.
Because I can't fucking talk. I'm just.
Yeah. It's. Yeah.
Weeping.
Yep.
And
it's, you know, because I've never experienced pain like this before, really. It's. When you're crying, it's like a full, your whole body.
That's right.
Aches.
Yeah, because it's not crying from suffering. Like, oh, I can't believe that fucker did a blah, blah, blah.
He didn't call me back. Oh, he cheated on me and she's a bitch.
Because all of that shit is really a reflection of ourselves. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, we're, you know,
your self-worth isn't there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got bad habits. Your dad treated you like shit, so you're dating assholes. Like, oh, whatever the thing is.
But, and you can cry from a position of suffering. But that's not really, that's not grieving.
No, that's sadness. Sadness and grieving are two totally fucking different things.
I think when you're really grieving, you're connected to the feelings of loss.
Yeah.
And the loss, like, we don't connect on our dreams because our dreams change throughout our lives. We, you know, at different stages of our lives, we want to be different things, but we all connect on our loss.
Yeah.
Because loss is universal.
Yeah.
Everyone is going to lose a love, is going to lose a parent. Their parents, you know, unless they fucking go out first.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to lose loved ones. They're going to lose jobs. They're going to lose, you know, their money. I thought I was going to do this. I ended up doing this. People make mistakes. Losses are what define us. And this is the loss of the love of your life.
Whoa, it is. That's exactly what it is. And the thing that's so frustrating is you can't do anything.
Other than grieve how fucking profound that love is.
Yeah.
And that whole.
Yeah.
There's no laughing. I mean, you can laugh. You can, you know, you can try to fucking joke your way through it, but you are going to fucking cry.
Yeah.
You are going to wail. You're going to grieve. There are going to be days to where you just don't
have it. You go to your knees. You just drop to your knees.
And you also, for me, and I would suspect that you're there now and have been there for the last few months, you don't know this side of you.
No.
You don't know. Like, I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to be funny again.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
You know, I thought, yeah, you've said that. I thought, I'm not, oh my God, I'm never going to, whoever I wind up with, my wife, mother of my kids, is never going to know my
boyfriend.
Mother. My boyfriend.
We called each other boyfriend, girlfriend. Because I'm like, fuck it. I'm like, what's our, is this, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. But that's, I was worried that my whole life, I was like, I want my dad to meet a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? And you think that, you're like, they're not going to meet.
Yeah. And this person isn't going to know them the way that I know them.
Right. And I had that fucking thought.
But all of that, that's all psychology.
Yeah.
All of that is just psychology. The feelings are they're the boss. Because there's really no getting around them.
You can't cheat them. You can't.
Yeah, you can.
They find their way back, and if you don't honor them, they come back in the weirdest fucking ways.
My brother and I have fought. Luckily, we used to fight a lot growing up, and then we became really close when.
That's my sister and I too.
And you met him.
Yeah, he smells like Christmas.
He loved that. The next day, he goes, "That was so fun last night. She told me I smelled like Christmas."
I got right in the nape of his neck.
Yeah, as you should.
It smelled like Christmas morning.
The best. Yeah, and a good Christmas.
Gingerbread and a good Kale's Jewelers.
Yeah, where people pay to have the presents wrapped.
Every kiss begins with kiss.
It's who had time to make a frittata? This family. That's how they do in the morning.
Who had time to make a frittata?
Oh, they're incredible.
It smelled like waffles and gingerbread. It was amazing.
He is the best. Did I just hear a train? A little choo-choo train? I didn't even see you set that up.
Is Santa's sleigh bell right in your aorta?
I know.
You smell like Rudolph taint and Christmas
they're
gift.
Just so good. But, we also, we're very different and we grieve very different, my brother and I.
You see more. I don't know your brother that well, but knowing you, you seem more sensitive.
We're both very, very sensitive, but I'm more on the court with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. You have a direct line to it.
Absolutely, and it's also the irony is not lost on me. To roll it into music, to roll it into storytelling and comedy, and it was easier for me to roll my dad. I literally got on stage with you a week after my dad died and had jokes about him.
There were dead dad jokes throughout the whole night.
I know. You tagged it 5 times. I'm sitting with my brother and we were like, there's another one. Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'll have to put it into this episode.
The ghost of Chris's dad was up there fingering me. I think that was one of them. Yeah. His kindergarten teacher wife loved that one. She was like, This is entertainment. That's really good.
That's where it gets fun. That's the payoff a little bit. The pain, the pure pain of it creates such an honest, no fucks given reaction. Where you and I are, you're up there talking about your dead dad.
Uh-huh.
I'm up there responding about your dead dad.
Yeah.
And it's sort of. People get offended by stuff like that, and it's like, no. This is how you heal. This is literally how you heal.
That's it. Yeah, and that's there was very little laughing with my mom about her condition because she was so terrified about it, and it was very heavy and it was just so hard while she was still lucid and semi-lucid.
And does it with that? Did she understand she had Alzheimer's? Did she? Or was it moments of lucidity she understood and then
she
it would
knew something
fade.
Was wrong, but she didn't know. If you asked her, she would say, sometimes I don't what I'm trying to say. And she'd look at me to finish the sentence.
Oof.
And but because they were doing a lot of social things up until 3 years ago, Thanksgiving.
With her?
Yeah.
And her then, and her husband and her yeah, husband. And then, are they still together?
Well, I mean, legally married, but he hasn't seen her in a few months.
Yeah,
we took her. So Thanksgiving 3 years ago, he had his son and daughter-in-law and their child, they're older, staying at their home in Vegas. And my mom's known these people for decades, and she woke up and didn't know who they were or why they were in her home.
Oh my God, that's a nightmare. That's my nightmare. Yeah.
And so she freaked out and got very combative. Now Linda could go. My mom could
fucking
fight.
Yeah, she
could
duke it.
Oh my God. She too. I was more afraid of being caught by my mom doing something bad than the cops, because Linda would just fuck
Linda.
Us up.
We could call her Linda.
Hell hath no fury.
Linda, listen.
The fucking eyes would roll back in her head. And I mean she'd fight a cop for us.
What's her background? She's American, but what's the ancestry?
Yeah, her father's Belgian, and her mother Irish and Scottish.
Okay, so there's some fighting her.
She, oh, fuck. But her dad was And that was it. Her dad was an abusive alcoholic.
Jesus.
And we didn't hear a lot about that until her memory started to go.
Yeah.
And the short-term memory goes. So these long-term, yep. like the deep cached stuff starts coming out. And I remember, you know, one time we were driving down the road and she mentioned something. And I was like, well, yeah, you know, Mom, your dad was a painter. And she goes, oh, yeah. Yo, he's a son of a bitch. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, he's a son of a bitch. And I'm like, well, he's, you know, he's dead. Yeah, good. Good? Yeah. Well, he used to beat us and he'd beat my mom.
Oh, my God.
He'd beat her and there was coffee grounds everywhere on the kitchen floor. And I hit him. I hit him with a vase.
Holy shit.
And my mom like tuned him up. And,
damn.
And she was the oldest of her three siblings and she protected her younger brother.
She hit him with a vase?
Yeah, she fucked him up.
Before she hit him with it, was she like, this would look better on the wall?
Yeah, she was probably...
on the ledge above the fireplace.
That's what she had in her hand. She was decorating. Yeah, she knew exactly which vase to pull. She's like, these right here.
This one isn't as nice as the other ones.
No, this isn't going to hold its value. But anyway, yeah, so that was a trip to see. I'll never forget driving down the road. We were driving from Santa Barbara. She loved going to Santa Barbara, and we went up there to see some family on the beach, and then we were driving back down to L.A., and we were passing through Camarillo, where her brother lives with his family, my uncle and my cousins, and she goes, I know this place. And I was like, yeah, this is Camarillo. Your brother lives over here, Uncle Don, and, you know, total Notebook style. And, you know, yeah. Aunt Susan, and their God. Kids, Stephanie, and, you know, the babies. You love the babies. She goes, oh, yeah, oh, they're great. Yeah, I go, yeah, they're awesome people. She goes, you're just great. And I was like, thanks. And she goes, I bet people just love you, don't they? And I was like, yeah, you know, some more than others, but yeah, most people. And she goes, yeah, now who's your mother?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How did you not fucking...
Oh, it was like Wile E. Coyote when the dynamite goes off and he smiles and all his teeth fall out.
He's running. He's still running, but he's off the cliff in midair.
He's like,
I'm going to die.
He's running and his body's been turned to dust and it just starts blowing with the breeze away.
Hartnett at the end of 30 Days a Night on the hilltop when the sun comes up and he just gets burned alive.
That was me. So I flipped down her visor and I lifted up the mirror and I pointed at her reflection in the mirror. I go, that person right there. I go, that's my mom. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. That must hurt your feelings. I'm sorry I did that. I really have a hard time remembering.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. So, I feel like you're preparing me for the moment that my dad goes, who the fuck are you? And I'm literally going to punch him in the nuts.
That's what you're in his white
dick. I'm going to give him
right in that fucking grand wizard cock of his.
Dick. In that wizard dick of his.
The grand wizard, because it's so white.
This is where I came from. Pa!
That was your first road trip. Yeah. So, but when that happened, I mean, yeah, I held it together.
Did you have tears in your eyes?
Of course. But it's also just like, okay, this is what's happening now.
You have to do that.
This is what's happening.
This is
survival. This is where we're at, and this is what's happening. And, you know, I can hold it together, and I can be, what am I going to yell at her? You know, or
I know.
Am I gonna fucking write it on her arm?
You can't get mad. Yeah. I mean, you get mad, but you can't direct your anger.
There's no, and so, you know, you asked earlier about the fuck it's.
The fuck it's.
One of my biggest challenges in my life that I've done a lot of therapy to work it out, and I still, it's just something I'll have forever. I don't think you ever really get over things. I think you just develop relationships with them.
Yep.
You know, you learn how to deal with your abandonment. You learn how to deal with abuse. You learn how to deal with, you know, people are afraid of heights. They're probably always going to be afraid of heights to a certain extent. They're going to have a healthy fear of heights. You know, they're not going to not have that one day.
Yeah.
They'll just be able to cope with it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll climb.
It won't be so scary.
Yeah. But you develop a relationship with it. But you're always going to have, you know, there's going to be something in your design that's like, you know what, maybe not this mountain. And then you have to face that and cope. But, you know, what I have to look at and constantly remind myself is that I will get, because of the way my brain runs, I'll get anxiety. and I'll get really hard on myself.
I do the same thing.
And I'll get the fuck it's.
Yeah.
When I feel like I'm getting fucked with, or I feel like I'm outnumbered, or I feel like everything is like, it's all being dropped on me. I got to figure all this shit out. And what's it all for anyway?
Yeah.
What's it all worth? And that's a place of suffering. And that is a sort of
it's like a cycle.
A cycle. It's like circling the, it's like when you flush the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
like a self-loathing situation too as well, because you're just like stuck in this rut where you're not, it's almost like you can't see out of it once right. You get to that fuck it. And
that's
you just gotta say fuck it in order to get out of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have to be suspicious when I start getting that down.
Yeah.
That's really how fucked everything is.
Yeah.
I have to get suspicious that, you know, what are the chances that it's, that things are this fucked? What are the chances that it's me just feeling alone?
Yep.
And just bringing my shit into this right now. And when, you know, I was grieving and learning who this person was that, you know, was losing his mother and didn't have her anymore.
Are we going to have to stop the podcast? Or are you going to cry?
It kind of helps when you do that.
I know. I
just redirects me.
I wanted to redirect you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Caesar Milan me.
I did. I can see. I am Dave Peckley. I can see.
And a back.
I don't want to see you cry yet.
Yeah, it's not great looking.
Continue.
When she would be the one that I would call to deal with something this insurmountable. This, like,
yeah.
She would be the one when I'm like, I just don't know. And I feel, you know, I have my brother and his wife and my nieces are amazing, but you can't not feel so alone because you don't have that relationship with anyone else.
No, that support.
And so when that's gone, it's like, I wish I could tell you. I wish I had 10 minutes just to hear you. Mm-hmm. Tell me you understood, or I just wish that I just had a little bit of you to hand this to.
Yep.
Just for a minute,
because
you can
some.
Hold it, and we might have to stop the podcast.
No, you're good. Take a breath.
Because you can hold it when I can't. And then after a while, you learn that, you know, they're not there, and they can't hold it. But you also learn that you can hold it.
Yeah.
You can. It's
It's a transference.
And it's, they set us up. They set us up to love this much. They also set us up to be this strong.
Yeah.
And we've never had to really before.
No, it's a total change.
We've been able to dance around shit.
Yeah.
We've been able to be so fucking fast that people know us, but they don't really know us.
And they know us to a certain degree, not to the depths of this. Well, now they're going to know both of us. You're like, they don't know us.
This podcast got 4 listens. It was me twice.
And my dad twice. Because he forgot it the first time.
He accidentally, he didn't want to listen to it that many times. He just didn't know how to work the phone anymore.
He thought he was ordering a pizza. Mm-hmm. He listened to the podcast.
Jason May, this goddamn Domino's place is going to shit. All they talk about is losing their minds.
He called one of the places we took him to look at, one of the assisted living places, he called it a morgue.
A morgue. It fucking feels that way. It was like Night of the Living Dead. I was at my mother's. I actually took a picture of it. I have a bit.
One of the places you were going to take your mom to, or at her place?
At her place. I have a bit in my stand-up comedy act at my mother's place.
What is this?
They
what is
have
this
a
box?
Suggestion box in my mother's Alzheimer's ward. And there's a dude who...
That's a really nice box.
Everyone in there, it's beautiful. Everyone in there has memory issues, and there's about 60 residents.
Is it all the same thing?
Well, it's
just one guy suggesting the same thing every day.
Well, this guy's always hanging out by it, and he's like, "Excuse me," as I walk by. He's like, "Do you have God Bless America on your phone?" I'm like, "Hey, buddy, no, I don't. I don't have it today." He goes, "Okay."
The song?
Yeah, he always wants to listen to God Bless America. This dude's on a tape loop, and he's standing right next to the suggestion box, like, and there's never any cards. Like, I think he just writes shit and sticks it in there.
Yeah, where are the cards? They need to have cards next to it. What the fuck are people supposed to do?
There's cards next to it.
Okay.
I get in the shot. But yeah, and a pen on a string. So it's like you can just walk by and be like, do, 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 and
yeah.
Put it in there. And anyway, yeah, in my act, I have a joke about that, about the first time that I helped my mom when she came here, and I helped her in the shower. And I, you know, she was at the point where she did not like, I put her in there, slid the door shut. And I'm like, all right, mom, so you can put your arms up, you know.
And I did the same thing.
Like this and do like that. And I just looked through the, you know, the translucent glass. And I could see her outline. She's not moving. She's just standing on the floor.
Just like a ghost.
Yeah, yeah. So I like, slide the door open. I'm like looking straight up at the ceiling, just trying to catch the lower periphery like this. I'm like, okay, mom. So I grab the soap thing. I'm like, over here. And I'm kind of showing her a little bit. And she's starting to move around a little bit and starting to, I'm like, okay, you want to do your legs? And she dropped the loofah. And I looked down and... I've never been so grateful to see a bush in all of my life, because if my mom had a shaved box, I was going
You'd
back.
You'd have a suggestion
I'd
for
go
it.
Back to that home with a hammer and break that box open.
You'd put a
like,
card.
Who wrote Linda in room 32? Can we give her hardwood floors downstairs?
Who gave her a Harry's razor for her birthday?
Oh, man, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. But those are the things, like, joking about that kind of shit.
Oh, God.
You know, the other thing I'll say is, like yesterday I went and saw her for lunch and I fed her. And when I go, I'm fucked up for a day before I go.
Just in anticipation of
yeah.
it? Like,
yeah.
So, like, in this late stage... of where she's at, what can you say for anybody who who's gonna be there? What should they know? Like, if you could tell yourself 2 years
so ago. Let yourself off the hook. The only requirements, first of all, depending on how great your parent was to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, my dad, different set of requirements, yeah. right?
But if they were
like,
a good parent.
Yeah.
And
my dad
you.
Is still in my brother's garage in an urn.
Your dad.
We haven't even had a fucking thing for him yet. It's been 3 months. We're like, I don't know.
He carried him around in the car for like.
My brother went and picked him up from the mortuary. He had him in the back of his Suburban for fucking 2 weeks.
Just rolling around.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Was that an apple? Gallon of apple juice?
Jesus,
back
is
there?
A box of cigars?
It's dad.
Yeah, it was.
Dad's in the back of the yeah. Subaru.
Like, what's that clinking? It's like his fillings.
They used mercury back then.
Yeah. However, you know, whatever your relationship with your parent was, but, you know, if you had an extraordinary parent, and, like, let's say that, like, in your case, you know, you want to do everything for them, all that is required and all you really can do, you know, don't spend all of your money.
Yeah.
Trying to make it nice.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And that's when you first walk into these places, you're like, oh, fuck, that's not our home. These people aren't our people. This isn't like, this fucking carpeting is weird. It kind of smells like piss. It's kind of like a shitty hotel I wouldn't stay at.
Yeah.
You know, but let's go to a nicer place and we'll feel better. That's all about
yeah.
you. That's not their experience. Remember, they're starting to fade and they're not like going, well, you know, the thread count is.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. So one, save your money because you don't know how long it's going to last and you'd rather have the money for the marathon,
yep.
you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best. And also there's really only two things that are required, which is to make sure that they're safe is
yeah.
number one, you know, they're not going to fall down. They're not going to like roll out of bed and crack their foot. You know, the people are actually making sure that like if they are like my mother got aggressive. Because she got so paranoid. And
that
so
happens
freaked
a lot,
out.
Which
yeah,
is a
oh,
common
totally.
Thing.
Yeah, and she could, this woman, she's a little thing, 5'2", but man, she fucking
spicy.
Tuned some shit up when she
yeah.
got pissed off. Very righteous. and so we had to put her on medication to chill her the fuck out. Like, my mom needed to be 2 bong loads deep in the couch.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I've been doing some research about cannabis and dementia because of reading about how the aggression factor is an issue. And you know, the confusion exacerbating the side effects and the symptoms and all these things sort of tied in. And the medication they put them on, it turns them into just a blob.
Yeah, so there's
Seroquel, what's it called?
Seroquel. So that's one. Yeah, Seroquel is like, it's an antipsychotic and it just knocks you the fuck out. And so, you know, Seroquel is, it sucks. But I'm trying to think of there's an Alzheimer medication. There's a medication that only really works for about a year. And
You can't think of it?
I think it's called.
Aricept. I'll look it up.
I have them all here.
Okay.
But there's an Alzheimer's medication that only works for a little while. And they're making huge...
Aricept.
Yeah. So she's on Lexapro, Seroquel, Divalprex, and the stuff called Keppra, which is an anti-seizure medication.
See, now, here's my problem with that stuff. And I'm not saying that modern pharmaceuticals aren't necessary in certain instances with certain syndromes and diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the science behind stuff like CBD, Charlotte's Web, microdosing, things on a conservative level, when you're talking about medical marijuana and cannabis and all of that,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like the fact that they don't yield the side effects or the outcome.
No, I think by all means, I think that if you can try it, if it's legal in your state and you can try it and you get a doctor to write a script for it, there's a pill called Marinol that's legal here, which is basically a marijuana pill that some pharmacies are starting to prescribe. If you can do it, do it. Try it.
You have to start small, though.
But you just remember, like, number one is they have to be safe. And that means they're not going to fucking tune somebody up.
Yep.
Right? They're not going to fall and bust their ass.
Right.
And remember, like, one of the reasons...
Or wander off and get lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's
gonna, a lot of wandering that happens.
Well, at a certain point, they'll be in locked facilities, right? They have to, my mom's in a locked facility. They have to be in a locked facility at a certain point because they just... They can't be out. They will just cruise.
Alzheimer's on a... You know, just because it's like a cognitive disease, it has physical effects.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a lot of... ALS, Lou Gehrig's
mm-hmm.
disease,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that the degradation is so gradual.
Well, it isn't. I mean, sometimes it goes fast.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you can get, like, my mom's really went quick. I'll show you a picture of my mom 18 months apart, and you'll be like,
fuck.
She went from, you know, a beautiful 60-year-old woman to she looks like she's 85.
How old is your mom?
71.
Okay. Because my dad's 80.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was saying on the last podcast, was your mom a drinker or anything like that?
Nah. I mean, she loved a Chardonnay.
But she, any like addictions or anything like
no,
that?
No, she smoked for a long time, but she quit at like 50.
Yeah, so she was pretty like chill with that stuff. My dad was a functioning alcoholic for probably 2 decades, the later part of his life. And he started having these dizzy spells early on. When I did my cross country trip and went home, we noticed a change in him. His physicality was different. His mind was a little bit altered, but we mainly noticed his mobility had diminished a little. And so we went to the doctor because of that, and he had these dizzy spells. And the neurologist, because she was privy to the fact that he had been an alcoholic, told him that he needed to stop drinking. But it was vital and pertinent for him to do it gradually.
Yeah.
Because of the history, you know, my grandmother had dementia as well, that could ignite and exacerbate the side effects.
Easier. I mean, fuck, you know.
Well, when he quit drinking, he quit cold turkey because my dad's just a fucking stubborn Italian.
But was he also scared?
He's scared. Yeah, he's got anxiety, you know.
Yeah,
he definitely...
He's
got
to know that this is happening. And
yeah.
Sure, he thought, well, I'll just cut that shit out and I'll
be
fine.
Yeah, that's
again.
What he thought. He's like, I'll just cut that shit out. And from that moment, he went, like, in a month, he went downhill so fucking fast.
He loved his booze.
He loved his booze so, so much. Like,
have you given it back to him?
I've thought about it, honestly. I've really thought about just giving him a beer.
Have you smoked him out?
Not yet. He can't really smoke. I was just thinking about, you know, my partner, Travis, with my dispensary. He put together a bunch of CBD syringes for me. You don't stick them in. It's just you put it in the syringe without the needle. You know, you just squeeze it out of the top of it and you put it like on a cookie or something.
Up his asshole.
Up his, you know, you could do it in the ass.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Do you have them here?
You want
Hey, if you can get anything besides a dream up this
put
asshole,
it right in your
I'll
butt.
Give you $20. I have $5 Canadian.
You
if
keep
you
your
can
dreams
get
in your asshole?
Yeah,
no wonder they're so shitty.
Oh,
thank you guys.
There it is.
Comedy podcast.
Let's give it up for Jessica Peluso.
Jessica Peluso!
Where are my crickets?
Oh my God. Where are my crickets? Come on. That's the best card you ever got.
It was great.
I have looked into it. There's I talked about it before, but there's this documentary, short documentary on Facebook that's circulating that's called Clarity. And it's just about this assisted living place in Louisville, or was it Louisiana, I think? I don't know. What the place is irrelevant. St. Louis. I don't know where the fuck it is. It's called Clarity. It'll tell you where it is. But they're starting to implement medical marijuana into the program with the seniors.
Cool.
And the turnaround, like, just the thing about marijuana in relation to this sort of disease is you're going to notice if it's going to work or not immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to see how it helps immediately.
I think at your father's stage, at an earlier stage, sure, give it a shot. You know, my mother's at the stage now to where she's in the final stage. She's chewing.
Yeah.
Smiling.
She's looked like she was communicating with you a little bit.
She can't say. She doesn't speak.
But she had like, she was looking at you with love, though. I saw that on that Instagram video.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. But
I'm not saying she said a full sentence, but like
that took 7 or 8 shots.
Shit.
To get that one. She didn't, you know, her eyes don't track, and yeah,
that's
she's
so, so fucking the next, heartbreaking.
She's in the, yeah, she's in the stage now where she'll stop remembering to swallow. Like right now, she knows when the food touches her lip, she knows to open her mouth, and she'll take the food off of the spoon. And then she'll chew it and she'll swallow it. It's like, you know, 1, 2, 3. She'll get to a point to where she'll stop swallowing. And then, you know, we have a advanced directive. By the way, get as much up front in terms of their wishes and how they want.
You got to get that. That is so fucking vital.
Yeah, we didn't do it with my dad, so he's sitting in my brother's garage right now.
Just underneath a Neil Diamond velvet Kai art piece.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai Arons. He's a genius. Yeah, you know, we have a non-resuscitate, and so the next phase is that, you know, she's going to sort of lose her appetite and just forget how to eat. And then, you know, that's right now she's eating, and she stopped for a bit, and she does have hospice care there. She dropped down to about 50-60% of her meals that she was finishing, and it's kicked back up.
Awesome.
So she's a little chunky, and like, and we've got some time, but I put her into hospice the week before my dad died.
I mean, that's just a 1-2 punch.
It was awful. And then I had to do your podcast.
And then we did our podcast where we just made fun of your dead dad.
Yeah. Oh, that show was amazing. That was one of the greatest moments of my life, actually.
What, when we did the Ice House?
Oh, the Ice House, yeah. Just because I'd never written something that personal that I got up and just did at not an open mic or a bar show or a fucking, you know, 5-minute spot.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, okay, this sucked. I'm going to leave now. You know, I did 20 minutes.
And you had to commit to it.
And I felt like, and I committed to it. My brother was there.
Yep.
And a bunch of friends. And it was cathartic and awesome.
And real.
And real.
I heard
you cackle.
I cackled from the, especially like in those moments, because you're working through it where you just have to like sit in it and figure out where it's going to go.
Those are
my favorite fucking moments. Mm-hmm. For comics, when you have comic friends and you're watching them up there, I've had those times where I'm like working out a new joke and you display a face where you're like, that's not how I want it to go. And then you just hear one of your comic friends laugh in the back. You're like, eh, I'll fucking figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, totally.
I did the same thing. You came over a couple, it was like last month. And we started, why did we start writing jokes about my dad? Did we just
go? You were going to go to the store to do a thing at the store. And you were like, you know, I want to do something cleaner and I want to do something more. I think I want to do something about my dad.
Yeah. And we wrote out those jokes.
Yeah.
We wrote out and they are working.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Well, and honestly, I think it's like, your stuff about taints and buttholes is great.
It's my favorite. You know what? You know why I love that stuff so much?
Taints and butthole stuff?
Yeah. Taints, buttholes, poop, fart jokes. It's my dad and I's thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yep,
that's
yep,
our
yep.
thing.
Yeah.
That's how we've made each other laugh. That's how he made me laugh. That's, yeah.
You innate. Have that you have that sensibility. You can navigate a taint and a butthole.
Yeah.
Right?
And I make it cute and accessible.
Yeah. And sure.
I'm cute.
Cute, and it says we literally, yeah, yeah. Jessamay one time was talking to me while she was looking in a mirror in her home, and And it was maybe the first time I'd ever been over to your place.
But oh, we started rewriting Mystic Springs.
Yeah, we were writing this, we're outlining this script. And she's like, but what if he does this? And then he does this. And da 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 da. And then this. And oh my God. And she's like looking at her makeup in the mirror. She goes, I am cute. And then lifted one foot off the ground and ripped a trumpet fart. Just like a dry jobby. It was like. And I turned, like, I thought you did it with your mouth, but your mouth was open because you were staring at your face smiling. And I was like, wow. Well, that was, I mean, it was perfect.
I can't breathe.
I was like, I guess we're going to be friends. That answers that.
And then I sent you a card with dead crickets.
Yeah, and then I got a card with dead crickets.
I'm a fun time.
There's only one of you.
There's only one of me. There's only one of you. Thank God.
Yeah, you're incredible. And honestly, Jess, you're just getting this whole thing. This is gonna get. This is gonna seem
so much
cheesy.
Fucking worse.
It's gonna get worse. You're in the worst of it right now.
Yeah.
Like when you were like, "Oh my God, it's so heartbreaking that your mother's gonna stop chewing." It sucks, but I'm already wet. Like, you know when you go outside and you get wet in the rain, you're like, oh, fuck, but I got to go 200 yards.
Yeah. And I thought you made you sharted.
Yeah, no.
Poop
no,
joke.
But I have done that. I've shit my pants.
Comedy podcast.
Three times as an adult. So, but you know when you're out and like, you're like, oh, I'm soaked. And then at a certain point, you're like, oh, fuck it, I'm already wet.
Yeah. Right?
That was me. When we put her in her home for about the first year and a half.
Yeah.
Because she was escaping. She was losing her shit. We'd show up to see her, and the first 20 minutes would be her recognizing us, going, oh, my God. Okay, can we go? Can we go? Can we go somewhere?
God.
I just love you.
Oh,
I love you.
God.
And she didn't, you know, she knew my name for a minute and a bit, and then she didn't know my name. And then we'd go out, and we'd go shopping, and it kind of, you know, and I'd hold her by the hand. We'd walk through Nordstrom, and she'd pick up every goddamn shoe. Oh, what about this? I remember her picking up, like, the fucking... the ugliest fucking like huge New Balance at Nordstrom. She's like, oh, Chris, this
for you?
Wouldn't you like this?
I would have bought it.
Yeah,
I'm like, yep, I'll take four pairs.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, and then we'd go out and have these little adventures, and I, you know, she'd have to go to the bathroom, and I just go to the women's room and pray
that it would go.
That it would go. All right, and then...
it's like having a baby.
And then, yeah, and then we'd take her home. I'd take her, drive her back to her place, and when we turned down her street, she'd be like, no, I don't go here. I'm like, well, no, this is your spot. No, I don't, but I don't like it here. They're not nice.
Ugh.
And not nice means, you know, they don't let her fucking leave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so I'm like, well, no, you know, Mom, why don't we just walk inside, and we'll talk to some people. I think there's really nice people in here. Let's go. A friend of mine's in here. We'll go in and talk to him. Will you just come in with me and we can just talk? And if you don't like it, you know, she goes, well, okay. But I don't go here. I'm like, well, let's just, come on, come with me. Let's go inside. I know some people in here and they're good people. Well, okay. And then we'd walk inside and she'd get in there and they'd be like, hi, Linda. And she'd be super sweet to them. And then she's like, okay, now what are you doing? And I'm like, well, Mom, you know, I gotta go. This is your apartment. You live here. She goes, well, no, you're not. You're kidding. You're not going to leave. I'm like, yeah, I gotta go. She's like, well, you know what? Fine. You just, I can't believe this. I don't know what's going on here. And I'd be like, all right, I love you. And I'd kiss her and I'd walk out and just bawl.
And you'd have to do that every single time?
Every time I saw her.
And you know what's crazy about that is it's such a parallel to a parent dropping a kid off to school.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But, and it's the irony of that and the beauty of it and the, all of the pain of it is that, like you said before, they prepare you. When your parents get to this stage, it's a transference of love in the sense that they're preparing you to give love in a different way, in an unconditional way.
Yeah.
And not that you need to see and watch and have your parents diminish in front of you in order to recognize this love, but it's literally a teaching. It's like a natural occurrence in life, and that passage of them onto whatever is the great unknown after this physical life that we have, that passage teaches us the true value of our existence and essentially what matters the most.
I have a very dear friend that lost his son to cancer at 7.
This is a comedy podcast.
It's a comedy podcast. And he's a music executive and started a foundation called Pob Love.
Pob Love,
isn't it? Son was Pablo,
oh.
And it's Pob Love, and he's raised millions and millions of dollars for children's cancer research. And he's an amazing human, and I've listened to him speak at length about the experience of losing his kid. And when you lose love, in the hierarchy, the kid's at the top. What he went through is at the top. You know,
that's terrible.
Below that is, I'd say, losing your, if you're that close, I think losing your parent, and then
and losing them in a way where it's Alzheimer's, ALS. We have to watch them
or
go
ask
or an accident. Yeah,
you know,
ask cancer. Fucking Jesus, Farrah Fawcett, right? Too soon.
Oh.
God,
I didn't know she had it.
This is a comedy podcast.
The second half of this is going to be hysterical. I have a feeling that we're really stretching the band back to let it rip. But I think that it's been a gift. What's happened with my mother has been the greatest. She's given me the greatest gift I've ever received from her, because it's forced me to slow down and sit in my feelings.
Yep.
And not be, you know, I was just ahead of my skis my whole life.
Yeah.
I was leaning too far forward.
Yep.
I was too anxious about, like, you know, making it happen and producing results and doing the thing and being the guy and figuring it out. And then, you know, I'd come up with some creative idea and everybody get inspired by it. And then I would take off like a rocket and end up 2 miles down the road without everybody around me to help me do it.
Yeah.
And then I'd resent having to do it all myself. And all that came from this mania, because I was in my psychology. I wasn't in my feelings enough.
Yep.
And when you sit in the realness of your feelings, then you get really slow and really sticky, and people can stick to you. People can get in. They can get their hands around you. They can hold your heart, and they can also serve you.
Yeah.
Before, I wasn't setting myself up really
for any cohesive relationship.
And for people to get behind me, to really support and to serve me, producing, me managing, whatever I needed, starting a company. It was a miracle that any of it worked out.
You're very talented and you're driven. Like, it's,
I appreciate that, but I do appreciate that acknowledgement from you specifically, but nobody does it by themselves.
No, and nobody does.
Right. And so, why are these people, like, if you watch this documentary on Spielberg, there are so many people that have been with him that just he knows how to integrate with. They know how to integrate with him. And a lot of it's just unsaid at this point. They just know. They move together
as a
cohesive
unit,
right?
Yep.
And, you know, you've been a mercenary as a comedian. You know, you go out and you don't travel with a band.
No,
you travel
on
your own.
With dogs.
Dogs, yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
A band of mutts.
A band of fucking rescues. All of you.
All of us. We all came from
charity
the same
cases.
Pound.
Charity cases.
Did a Bridgestone just pop?
Oh, you bitch. Oh, you're a rotten human. So her decline has caused me to sit in this. And what it's allowed me to do is I started doing comedy. I started doing the things that I wanted to do, the things I wanted to do just for myself. I learned how to be selfish because I had to take care of myself.
Yep.
I stopped managing other artists because I was like, I don't have it in me. The week that we put her in her home, I had a band I was working with a bunch of, like, Steven Tyler and some of the guys from Guns N' Roses, and all going to Africa to play, like, these big arena shows. And
I remember you telling me this about Steven Tyler.
Oh God, it was misery. It was misery, and it was during the Ebola outbreak. And I'm like, I'm fucking killing myself.
You're like, fuck Ebola. I don't give a fuck about Ebola.
Yeah, exactly. My mom doesn't know who I am. And so I just realized, I looked at my life, and I was like, I'm doing all these things for other people. I'm doing all these things to be successful. I'm doing all these things out of psychology. And I do enjoy music, and I do enjoy producing, and I naturally produce.
And you're good at it.
Thank you. But I enjoy producing with people, and I also enjoy being... I enjoy being taken care of, and the minute I'm taken care of, I take care of everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, if you give me a fucking gallon of gas, I will take you 200 miles.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to slow down and really let other people in and to be part of it, and to let them take care of you. And I realize that the most powerful people I know aren't people that can make people do shit, you know, because they threaten or intimidate them. They're the people that people like so much.
Or they
they're
want so inspired to do,
They're like, oh my God, if I get to do this for him, like, what a gift that would be. It'd be a contribution to me.
Yep.
And so the last few years, I've set my life up. I didn't mean to do it this way. I literally, it happened because I called the CEO of this company I just signed a production deal with. And I'm like, look at dude, I'm in a freeway underpass right now, crying my fucking eyes out. And I'm just, I'm missing her so bad right now. I'm not on set and I don't need to be on this fucking such and such meeting. I'm going to go home. If you need anything, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in my studio listening to music and writing, or I might go take a yoga class. I don't know. And he was like, whatever you need, just do whatever you need and we'll figure it out. And for the last 3 years, if he ever texts me or calls me up like, hey, man, can you come into my office? Can we talk for a minute? I've had this awesome production deal at Up Rocks. Every one of our conversations starts out with the door shutting and him going, so, dude, how's your mom doing? How's your mom?
And he means it.
Yeah. How are you?
Yeah. You
know, what'd you get into?
And that's what matters. And that's really what matters. I didn't know
that would really exist. And he's a great dude. There are, I can give you a couple dozen other examples of people that have shown up in my life like that. Jason Rouse.
Yeah.
People that are like, oh, this motherfucker needs something. And Jason, you know, I had him stay here because he didn't have much.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, he's doing good now. But like, he went through this dry spell and he got fucked by a promoter. And I was like, dude, just stay in my place. And crack of dawn, I was in my kitchen getting ready to go to work, and I was just thinking about it, and I was sobbing. And he comes out of my guest room, and we just had this moment where, like, he grabbed me, and he was like, you know, like Big Brother style, like, yeah. I just cried it out. And then it kind of set this tone for, like, there's an understanding with us. There's a tenderness in that relationship that... I've always flirted with in the past, and it's always looked like I had that because of my repartee and because people are like, oh, yeah, Claire's so fun to be around.
You're the surface thing.
But when it gets really deep and rooted, then it just gets more real and you realize that, like, oh, wow. And these motherfuckers, like, they'll take care of that.
Yeah.
They'll do this thing for me if I need this thing. And you just don't feel as alone. You feel like, oh, and you know what? Like, I have that with Jason and with you.
Yeah. We laugh until we cry.
Oh, my God. You are fucking...
We laugh until we cry. Like, we try and sit down and write this script that we've been working on, and every time we do... Look at these sentences. Look what I wrote. My name is Jesse May. I'm not a hooker. I wrote this. My name is Chris McClure. I'm a rotten whore.
Yeah, yeah. And you only wrote that because you want to try out your handwriting on my whiteboard. You fucking idiot. There have been times to where we finished working together, and then I'll go out with someone for dinner, and they're like, what's wrong with you? You're so quiet.
I'm exhausted.
I'm fucking wiped. I got nothing.
Do you remember?
Can you do all the talking?
Do you remember when I called you? Okay. I have so many technical issues. Like, I'm doing the podcast solo right now until I can figure out where I'm going to put it, until High Times figures their deal out when it's going to live in their network. So I'm doing it myself. Do you remember when I called you from my sister's house?
Oh, and
I'm
my
like,
God.
I recorded with my dad.
Yeah, you have
it. And
on
you
speaker.
Told me, you're like, and that's another thing I'll tell people when this starts to happen. If this is happening to you, dementia, Alzheimer's, interview them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're going in and out of lucidity, even if they're not making complete cognitive coherent sense, interview them, because you'll want it later in life. And I recorded my dad, and I didn't have the inputs right, and I called you, and just you trying to explain it to me. And you said input, and that just threw me off. I'm like, all right, now what's the input?
Yeah.
That word just totally threw me the fuck off. I had no idea how to handle it. My sister was laughing about that for weeks.
It was literally like, it was like talking to a fucking 11-year-old. You were just so, like, I can't tell how many times we've gone through this thing. I literally emailed you a template while I was on the phone with you.
I know.
Like, here, just open it up and put it in this. You're just fucking helpless.
I can't function. I think we're probably going to have like a bunch more of these episodes because people, it's when you keep, the moral for me is and I think what you were touching base on, is that when you start to lead with more truth and you honor your feelings as opposed to your psychology, which essentially, you know, you're more about feeling the moment instead of thinking about the moment. You get that back. You start to open up this world of all of that. The universe puts it back into your face. The same way if you lead with hate and anger, you're going to get that back.
Yeah. Well, I think when you lead, and this also, you know, you have to be around the, or expect.
Are you stroking out right now?
Yeah, you have to be around the right kind of people. Same in my psychology.
You are.
But when you're around the right kind of people, and the right kind of people can find you like this when you're being this way.
Yeah.
I believe that you actually attract those people. There's going to be assholes. There's going to be people can't. There are people in my life that can't handle. There are people in my family that can't handle this.
Yeah, me too.
They can't see my mom. They can't talk to me about it.
Not everybody's built for it.
You know, and how do you know? You know, like how
you don't
know
until you experience it.
But
I didn't know I could handle certain things.
There are people that aren't going to be able to get behind you, or there are people that aren't going to be able to fuck with you, and there are people that you don't want to fuck with. There are people that, you know, you don't want to be collaborating with.
No,
you know, there are people that are just going to drag you down or aren't going to add.
Yeah,
but the profound, amazing contribution that you're going to get from the amazing people is only going to happen when you're in your feelings and you're vulnerable and you can allow them in, because there's nothing for them to do otherwise.
Yeah, no.
Other than to just,
because they can't bullshit you.
Yeah.
When you're like that, when you're that open and raw, they can't bullshit you.
Yeah.
And that's a silver lining in all this crazy fucking painful in real dimension Alzheimer's thing, is that when you are dealing with a family member who you love so much and you can't do anything but be raw and in the moment and honor your feelings, then you start to just live that way. And that's, like, you know, for me, that's been one of the better realizations about myself, that, oh, I'm strong enough to be there for my dad, and I'm also strong enough to be okay to be there for myself in those moments where I feel like I want to fucking just ball myself up and stay in my fucking room until that feeling just goes away.
Yeah. Well, because you've been so used to fucking dancing around it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it just came out of nowhere. Like,
of course.
This thing comes out of nowhere and it's like, I'm losing my best friend. So that pain has made me be more like, fuck it. I was like, fuck it before, but now I'm even more fuck it, because I just feel that the realness of the situation is making me more real to my emotions. And yeah. So I'm just going to say how I feel.
So,
and I think I'm cute.
You know, the only, like I said, at this point, make sure he's safe, make sure he's comfortable, and allow yourself your humanity, allow yourself
yeah.
to feel those things, allow yourself to cancel shows.
I did.
You know, allow yourself
I had to the other night.
Allow yourself to, just all of that. And right now know that it's the worst, and it's going to be, you know, this transition period where he's sort of in and out, and you're getting to know this phase of Jessamay. It all growth is fucking, look at puberty, all growth
it's
is
awkward painful and fucking
so foreign and like, what's that,
uncomfortable
and then shameful. And you want to get rid of the fucking the shame. I don't believe shame serves anything.
No, it doesn't.
So, and that's why I'm saying, you know, I felt a lot of shame about, like, well, fuck, I don't have a house in Malibu with a fucking guest house where I could have, you know, full-time live-in care and a place for mom so she could just go out there and pick tomatoes all day and, you know, and fucking, I've totally failed as a son. I'm not doing everything I should, you know, I'm not where I should have. Should be.
I've had those feelings too.
Yeah, yeah.
So you feel like shame that you're not able to provide the way you think you should.
And so, if there's anything I could take from you and just fucking yank it, it's like it's that. If I could just pull that off of you, and so you didn't have to experience that, because it makes everything worse.
Yeah,
feeling that way. But understanding that, you know, you get to fully grieve, you get to be a mess through this, and you get to be awkward. Those two things, is he safe? Is he comfortable?
Yeah.
You know, once those boxes are checked, your job is done, and And it's just at that point a matter of how much time you want to put into it that day, right? Oh, I'm going to send him a fucking puzzle. Let's see how this fucking works.
And also try and find something funny about what's going on.
Oh my God, if I didn't have my brother.
Oh my God, my sisters and I, we laugh so hard. My dad lost his wallet and we're like, check the toaster, check the freezer. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in the cat litter. Like we're just on this long ass text thread of all these.
I feel bad for that cat.
All these fucking
could be
random.
Worse, Jessamy. You could be your father's pet. Oh man, has anybody seen my pen? The cat's not using its hind legs. I've got an idea. It's not an inkwell, Dad.
It's a goddamn nightmare.
A goddamn nightmare. But the good news and the bad news is the good news is this isn't forever. What this phase that you're going through right now. Could be a few months, could be a year, could be 2 years, but it's not 10 years.
Yeah.
It's not forever.
No.
And it's also, it gets better because
because you get wetter.
Yeah, and you're just starting to get wet now. And that's where you're starting to notice, like, oh, fuck, it's on my leg. Oh, fuck, my shirt now. Well, now I'm going to have
my hair is just, all right, you know? Well, now my makeup's down my face. And we're good.
And the minute you just get completely immersed in it, then you're like, well, I can deal with it. It's the same way, there's this Arthur Miller quote about war, about how, one day you faint because the gardener cuts his thumb off, and then the next day you're climbing over bodies and fucking smoke, and because the shit got bombed out, and you just all of a sudden,
you build up a resolve.
You build up this I guess this is what's happening.
Yeah,
now. And so and I think that any kind of tragedy, losing someone, an illness, a horrific accident, all of these types of things that throw a fucking
wrench into your plan.
Yeah, What we're in control of is we're not in control of ass cancer or Alzheimer's.
Well, I control my ass cancer. Speak for yourself.
I don't. Do you really control it? I don't think you control it. I think you just know when it's going to happen.
I know. I set up the chamber nice.
Yes.
I get the ammo set up and then I go.
Oh, my God. We got to record one.
I think I might.
Like, you're an expert farter.
There's an episode on here called Farts. It's like the 7th episode I ever did and it's all
farts.
Have
you ever lit a fart?
I'm terrified. I'm Sicilian. I feel like it's like lasagna dust and explode. It's like pure sausage. Ever try and light a sausage on fire? Those things are combustible.
Are they really?
I don't know. I just assume.
You're just making shit up.
Just making shit up. This whole thing's been a joke, guys. Our parents are fine.
Oh, wait. My mom's here. Hey, Mom. Come here. Mom, I'm watching to meet Jessamy. She's in a business suit. Yeah. Oh, love that. Is that a new Benz? Oh, it's beautiful, Mom. It's beautiful.
This is a comedy podcast.
It is a comedy podcast.
This has been wonderful.
So you know what's going to be great, Jess?
What?
Documenting this and your transition through this, you're gonna be better. Like, you came into this good. You came into this a good person, but you're going to come out the other end of this even better. And, like, more plugged into your life with more people plugged in to your heart and your fucking... Your humor's already getting better. Your act's already getting better. You're trying out the stuff that's like, holy fucking shit. It ain't taint jokes.
No.
And
there's taints in it, but it ain't taint jokes.
But, you're washing taints. But you're working out who, like, what really makes you extraordinary. And with our humanity, as much as, we have to go through shame and we have to go through these horrible, we have to go through anxiety. We have to go through all of these things to get to finally what our feelings are. They make us. That's really what makes us profound.
Yeah.
And if you find somebody that's been through a bunch of that kind of shit, like, they're incredible people if they've made it out the other end of it with their feelings and connected to their heart. You know who's not incredible are the fucks that are dodging it.
Kardashians.
Yeah. I mean, just people.
The people who dodge the real shit.
People that dodge, there are people that look to life to give them a life. Like, oh, if I dress like this, make this money, have this success. And then there are people that bring life to life.
Yep.
you know, you've seen it with comedians. They're like, oh, when I get my special, when I get a this, when I get a that, when I get, when it, their whole thing is about like looking to life to give them a life.
And then it's the opposite.
And then, and it's really the opposite, because when you bring life to life, you know, then that's what fucking connects. And that's what makes you extraordinary. That's what makes people, it's like going, hey, well, I've got, you know, I've got a pile of shit here. I'll see what I can do with it.
That's how rude, Chris McClure. That's my bun.
It literally does. It looks like an angel just descended from heaven in a flying W, right? Like this, with the knees up and the ankles out, and just shat a soft serve on the top of your head. And the irony is, you just went and got your hair done the other day, right? You just got your hair done, and you're like, oh, thank you, Angelica, or whoever the fuck it was. You spent 4 hours making it so perfect.
Fuck,
let me twist this thing up into a fucking solid bowel movement.
On that note, folks.
It looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like a retard put an ice cream cone out on the top of your head.
Hashtag me too. Thank you guys for listening. Chris McClure, where can they find you?
I am Chris McClure. I am Chris McClure.
And what, your friends with this, he lost his son to cancer. What's his foundation again?
Pavlov. Jeff Castellas. He's an incredible human. Pavlov, P-A-B-L-O-V-E. Check it out. They do amazing.
Yeah, check that out.
Amazing stuff.
Donate. Be good people. Don't be selfish assholes. And try and find funny in all the tragedy.
And yeah, and if anybody wants to direct message me about tips on this, I'm totally open to it.
I am Chris McClure on Instagram. And also, if you guys have questions, you know, I'm not a professional. I'm just getting into this, but I would also love some tips. But if you're getting into the process of having a parent with dementia or Alzheimer's, please message us. Chris has been through a lot. I'm sure you would respond.
I'd love
to
hear
them.
Yeah, I mean, from all ends, I'd love advice.
Yeah.
And I'd also love, and if there are people out there that have had success with CBD oil,
please let us know. Anybody who's had success with CBD oil, let us know how that's going. And I'm doing more research on it as... you're just looking right into my shit bun. Okay, yeah. Let's just stop.
Is there anybody out there that knows how to absorb, put a matte finish on a forehead?
I hate you.
All right.